So it helps have the translation, doesn't it? Soli Deo, to God alone, and Gloria, to God alone be the glory. That's what that means. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Maybe you haven't thought of yourself this way, but you are a temple. What a strange thing to think about. Each one of us is a temple. You know, that's what our text here from Mark 13 is kind of about. It's starting to talk about the temple. The very first person that built a temple was the wise king. Do you remember who first built the temple? Solomon. Solomon built the first temple. We know that that temple was destroyed in 587, right around that year, 587 BC, by the king of Babylon, King Nebuchadnezzar. We know from secular scholars, actually a Jewish scholar, his name is Josephus, that that original temple was built 400 years earlier, right around 950. So that's where we get the dating of Solomon, the king who built the temple. What an impressive building this was, the very first one. It had architects who came from the coastal regions, Tyre and Sidon. They were the smarty pants of the day, those that lived in Tyre and Sidon. They had great materials, the most expensive. They came from Tyre and Sidon. They were brought in from the coast into Jerusalem, and that's where the temple was built. It was impressive. But what made Solomon's temple very special, my friends, I think Witherly talked about it here a little bit this morning, is what happened inside the temple. See, inside the temple, there were the Holy of Holies and the Ark of the Covenant. And when you walked in, you had a sense of God's mercy. You had a sense for God's forgiveness. You knew that you were experiencing God's presence. It was a special place. I believe in Solomon's temple. When people walked into that temple, it wasn't just mechanical. I actually think people walked away inspired to live for God and to live for others. 9 centuries before Jesus came. It was a special encounter going to Solomon's temple. Now, someone else built a temple, and you're catching it here in Mark chapter 13. I want to tell you about him. Do you know who built the temple at the time of Jesus? Not Solomon, but Herod. Yeah, someone said it. Yep, Aaron. Herod. His temple was way more impressive. Way more impressive. Herod, we know this from archaeology, we actually haven't found remains from Solomon's temple. We have found remains from Herod's temple. It is believed that Herod's temple is perhaps the most grand building ever built in the history of this planet. Isn't that interesting? It was one of the 7 wonders of the ancient world. Listen to this. The stones were 40 feet long. They weighed about 100 ton stones. Impressive. Herod's temple, just to give you a further perspective here, it wasn't just a building. It was a complex of buildings. It was a campus, like you'd go to OSU. I mean, it was expansive. And it sat there in this little city of Jerusalem. The city of Jerusalem was just a small little village with a ginormous building. It would be like the high school in Philomath times 10 in the middle of Philomath. That was Herod's temple. So you see why the disciple walking out of the temple said what he does in Mark chapter 13. He says to Jesus, he says, "Teacher, look, what amazing buildings, what amazing stones." Here's the problem. What happened inside Herod's building was not all that impressive. What Herod did was Herod wanted to build a building that brought in economic revival, that brought in politics, that brought in power for himself. There wasn't an experience of feeling God's mercy. There wasn't an experience of receiving forgiveness in Herod's temple. Jesus argues in Mark chapter 12 that this is going on here in this place. Herod's temple is not so much a great place. When you walked in, you didn't have an encounter that God was present. Nothing like that. So Jesus says here in our text, what does he say? He says, look here at these wonderful buildings and these stones. Not two of these stones will be left standing in Herod's temple. 30 years later, I'm sorry for all the history here, I'm getting to a point here. 30 years later, about 70 AD, Herod's temple, again, the greatest building maybe ever built in the history of this planet, was destroyed completely by the Romans. Jesus' prediction came true. One lesson that we can take away from all of this is that what impresses people in this life will not necessarily impress Jesus or God. We can fall in the trap of doing what Herod does, can't we? We can fall into the trap of just building things, thinking that that will give us significance in life. We build our bank account. We get to a certain point and think, wow, now I'm significant. I'm doing something special. We build our careers. Now that I've reached that promotion, now people should listen to me. We build our status on social media. Now that I've got all these followers, now, you see, now everyone should listen to my opinions, and I know what's right or wrong. The problem is, Jesus is teaching here, if we live that way and build buildings like that, it will never remain. Because if Herod, who built the greatest building on the earth, it didn't last 30 years longer after Jesus, nothing that we build for ourselves will last forever. The temple originally had a very good purpose, a very good purpose. Remember, going to the temple in Solomon's day, you knew you were experiencing God's mercy, you knew you were experiencing God's forgiveness and the presence of God, and it changed your heart. Friends, around the time of Jesus and the destruction of that temple, there were whispers starting to occur that really changed the dynamic of religion. The whisper was this: the temple doesn't matter so much, but the temple is in your hearts. God's temple is not, God cannot be confined to a physical space. God is actually in your hearts, and God can spread through your hearts. Jesus was a part of this teaching. He says in Luke 17, the kingdom of God is within you, he says. The Apostle Paul picks it up in 1 Corinthians. Paul says this: you are God's temple. You are God's temple, and the Holy Spirit dwells within you. Friends, consider yourself God's temple. Because of the work of Jesus Christ and what he's done, he's the high priest working in your heart. And by being God's temple, you can bring God to many, many people. This is Paul's theology in 1 Corinthians. That's a dramatic difference. It kind of reminds me of pizza. How's that? Pizza. How many like pizza? Think about how pizza has changed its way that it's delivered and the way it's consumed. 100 years ago, you had to go to a pizzeria to have the best kind of pizza and get it right out of the oven and served on your plate. That's the only way to do it. Then something revolutionary happened in large cities in America in the 1940s. You could get take-and-bake pizza. You could pick it up and take it home. That was a big change. Then 20 years later, there were cars, there were telephones. You could call in the pizza and they could deliver it to you and you could enjoy the pizza at home. Then in the 1990s, it changed again. There was a World Wide Web. You could order your pizza online. Now there are apps that you just hit a button. You don't even have to talk to anyone. You can order the pizza right there and it lands in your home in about a half hour. Friends, in 5 years, your pizza will be delivered probably by a drone that will bring it hot and fresh and right to you. In 100 years, pizza delivery and eating a pizza has changed. Friends, that's what happened with the temple during Jesus' day. In just the snap of a finger, all of a sudden, God was no longer confined to the Holy of Holies. And on Yom Kippur, when the high priest would come in and everyone would sit out with their sacrifice, in the snap of a finger, all of a sudden, because of Jesus' death and resurrection, all of a sudden, the temple was no longer a physical space. The temple is a place in our hearts where our high priest Jesus goes to work. And we can take him out into the world and the community that dramatically multiplied the Christian faith into the world. Friends, this week, someone came to this church and said, "Jeremy, this church dramatically impacted my life, and they never attended a worship service. How's that possible? How's that possible?" Well, I want to tell you about that without giving all the details. Back in the spring, we got a phone call of someone that was in a very dangerous situation. In fact, their well-being was on the line. It was very serious and what would happen. And they didn't know what to do, and they didn't have any resources, and they didn't have anyone to talk to for the most part. It was a dangerous situation. And a couple members from this church and our church in general, the way we help people, provided a place to stay for that person. For 6 weeks or so, they stayed in this safe place. And there were conversations that were had. There was a listening ear to offer compassion for this person. There were no sermons. There were no explanations about the temple, thank goodness. Nothing like that. And then compassion was shown. And then when June came, the person completely disappeared. Gone. Had no idea where the person went, what they were doing. This last week at the Chamber of Commerce meeting at Peace, that person showed up. And they looked a lot better than they did 7 months ago. And I was told by someone that they said this church made a huge difference in their life. Never came to a one worship service. Friends, that's the temple in the hearts of our people going out into the community and bringing God's presence, his love and mercy, all those good things of Solomon's temple, into the lives of other people. You know, in a lot of ways, a temple, I've taught this before at Peace, but just one last reminder of what a temple is. A temple is a middle point where a God who is transcendent and way beyond us, holy, high and uplifted, meets sinful people that are unholy. And they come together in a middle point, the temple, where it's a safe place where you know you can meet God and count on his forgiveness and mercy. Now, God no longer relies on a physical place for that. God sees your heart as that middle point. And when people come and see Jesus at work in your heart, he's the high priest, they're inspired not because of you, but you see, they see God's love and forgiveness at work, and it inspires them to live for God and to live for others. As I close out this sermon, I want you to know we're putting this into action. Here's the action. It's called a blessing board at Peace. Let's take this seriously here. We really want to be a blessing this month. In the week ahead, or a couple weeks ahead, you're going to see hands on the windows going out into the parking lot. And on those hands are places where you can meet people. Go out and meet people, and you can have conversations, you can uplift them, or whatever it may be. They're simple things, like organizing hygiene kits at Philomath Community Services. They're simple things, like just going to a music performance in the elementary school or middle school or the school in Blodgett for their musical performance, whatever it is. Now, here's the thing. As you do this, you don't have to talk about Jesus. You're just attending and uplifting. Your presence counts for so much in the lives of people in the community. Now, as you do that, you're going to come across a lot of people that have an aversion to church. Okay? Some people might not even know what church is. But here's the thing. Here's the thing. Who knows? In 6 months, a person might come and say, "That person was a huge blessing in my life," like that conversation happened in our fellowship hall this week. May you always know that you are a temple, not because you're special, but because your high priest is working in your heart. Go out and be that middle point to bring God into this world. Amen.